Today is a new series, summer series, exploring faith. It's based on Hebrews 11, and it's good to think about. What I like to do in summer, as you might recall, is I like to do a deep dive into something, help us to think about some area of our life for the Lord, and spend some time thinking and being very practical about it. So today I will invite you to participate in this sermon. Just be ready, be prepared for that. But we want to think about things like, what is faith? How is it defined? How would you explain it to someone else? How can I increase my faith? What happens when my faith comes under attack? How can I defend it? From where can I draw inspiration and encouragement in living out my faith? So, as I said, I wanted to do something that will help us think practically. So, throughout the rest of January, we're just going to be in Hebrews 11. And at the conclusion, I hope we should be able to do more than define faith, but rather maybe have some new language or some new resources to assist us for a life of faith-filled living. So, our first task in this teaching series is to answer the question, what is faith? What is faith? And to that end, I'd like to invite you to have a chat to the person next to you just for a moment and have a chat about what is faith. If you're not sitting next to someone, you might like to move around a little bit. And for those people who are watching at home, I think there are a couple of spouses there watching together. So have a chat to each other. What is faith? Go for it, 2 minutes, and then I will tell you some more. Okay, I invite you to just to bring that back, just to get the juices flowing this morning. Hopefully you've got some good working definitions there. Let's start with the dictionary, that helps. The first definition we get from the dictionary is that faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing, a belief that is not based on proof, belief in God or religion or religious doctrine. So that's a dictionary definition of faith, not too bad. If we look at the Greek, what the Greek word means, the New Testament's written in Greek, we read this, conviction of the truth of anything, belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included area of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it, establish Jesus' credibility. And what we find in Greek is that the words believe and trust come from the same word. So believe and trust very close together. If we look to what people did in the church a lot over the years, and there's a new wave of this in the life of the church, is write catechisms. Catechisms were questions and answers about the Christian faith. There's a thing called the New City Catechism that's come out of Redeemer Presbyterian in New York. And it asks this question, what is faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer given is this, faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed in his word, trusting in him, and also receiving and resting on him alone for salvation as he has offered to us in the gospel. So if you look at those three things we've looked at, confidence, conviction, trust, they seem to be constants when we just try to define faith. I don't know if they were the words that came up as you discussed it. But with the New City Catechism definition, we're getting to Christian theology as well. We see an adherence to teaching in the Bible, to the historic creeds, and for Anglicans, you might say the Book of Common Prayer, the 39 Articles of Religion. I'm sure you're all across those. Is that it, though? If we consider for a moment what James writes in his book, in chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." You know, what distinguishes faith, just knowing, just adhering to something. Very many years ago when I was studying my undergraduate, I was doing an arts degree as part of my studies, and I did some history subjects, I did some medieval history, and the teacher, who I don't know whether she was a Christian or not, but the lecturer, she said a lot of stuff about Christian thinking, because she, of course, the early historians were Christians, you know, so she talked a lot about the Bible and the church and Christianity, but I wasn't sure whether she herself had a faith or not. So she had a lot of knowledge. But then you think about a new believer coming to faith, and often they come with just the start of knowledge, just the thirst of wanting to know more. And part of their coming to faith often involves praying a prayer, putting their trust in Jesus, even though they don't understand everything there is to understand about Christian faith or Christian doctrine. So surely there's more. So this brings us to today's Bible reading, which is Hebrews 11, just verses 1 to 3 today. And there we read this. We read in Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we did not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Now faith, I'm going to read it again because it's so short. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." So after the three definitions and our Bible passage, why don't you again take a moment to have a chat to the person next to you, and ask them whether there's something more to the definitions that you came up with earlier. Just take a moment to do that. Okay. Thanks for that. As it's good to keep, I think part of what we want to do in this morning's sermon is just to get to a really good, working definition that'll help us through this whole series. So it's good to keep that conversation going. A little bit of context, the book of Hebrews, an unknown author to unknown recipients. Obviously very thorough knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures. It's so seemingly writing to people who were Jewish Christians, or at least people who had a very intimate knowledge of Judaism. The thrust of the whole book of Hebrews is an encouragement to persevere in the faith despite persecution, and not to give in to the temptation to lapse into a quasi-Christian Judaism, which was more familiar, comfortable, and acceptable to those around them, but rather to persevere with the faith that they'd received in Jesus Christ. Much of chapters 1 to 10 are quite technical and specific about the redundancy of the former sacrificial system and the sufficiency of the one true sacrifice of Jesus. But as the author now expounds the theme of faith, we move into the narrative of Jewish heroes of the faith, properly contextualized in the greater story of God's rescue plan, which culminates in Jesus. Now, if you've got Bibles open, or if you want to refer to your Bible on your phone, just the section just before this in chapter 10 gives us a little bit of the context. At verse 19 of chapter 10, there's this call to persevere. You know, "Brothers and sisters, since we've confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings." And then a little bit further on, I want to read from verse 32. It says this, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do nothing to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but in those who have faith and are saved. And so, as we read this kind of context for when we come into chapter 11, we read about a hard struggle as Christians, suffering, publicly exposed to abuse. And what strikes me, because I don't know that I would have a cheerful disposition if this happened, cheerfully accepting the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourself possess something better and more lasting. That's the context. And then we come into Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The two words in verse 1, which are different translations translated different ways, assurance, confidence, conviction, are quite difficult to translate. In fact, the King James Version, for example, has a completely different sense in English. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that first word, assurance or substance or confidence, can relate to like a collection of documents establishing ownership, a guarantee or a proof, a firm, solid confidence, or a calm courage. And the next Greek word that is translated conviction or evidence, it's a conviction that is not a static emotion. It's not just something that we feel in the moment and then passes, but it's a deep conviction, rather something lively and active, a vital certainty which impels the believer to behave or conform or direct their actions or choices towards that conviction, and that their life is lived differently because of that conviction, because of that evidence. So we could loosely translate verse 1 as faith is the firm, solid confidence of things hoped for and the certainty with which a believer directs their whole life. Faith is the firm, solid confidence of things hoped for and the certainty with which a believer directs their whole life. That's verse 1. Working very slowly through these three verses today. Let's put it together. What else do we see in these three verses? First of all, faith accepts God's word. Because faith is a firm, solid confidence of things hoped for, believers accept God's word. This is a trust stance. It is not a blind trust, but a trust based on what we have seen and know to be true from experience, the things that have come to pass. And the things we believe to be true because of the character of the one who promises them. So, for example, you know, we might not understand everything there is to understand about the Trinity, but what we have learned about the character of God, what we've learned in the character of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, of the Father, we can go, I can read this and I believe it to be true. Holy Spirit is the author of the Spirit, the Scriptures, and the character of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is revealed in the Scriptures. And we know this to be true of people in our lives that are close to us, loved ones, whether they're parents or children or spouses. We know that over time, we build trust because of consistent behavior, consistent relating to people. I remember one of my nephews he's just turned 5, and he was, when he turned 1, I went to see him, and of course, he'd lived most of that 12 months in COVID isolation. So, you know, the only people he trusted were his parents and his siblings. In comes Uncle Adam, and, you know, like, who's this guy, you know, because he hadn't seen other people. But we build trust over consistent relational behavior, consistent behavior that says this person is safe, this person is loves us, this person cares about us. And we see this in the way we accept God's word as well. A trivial example of how we assess trust is, you know, we also assess the evidence, don't we? So if we were to buy a new car or a new house, you know, we can't see everything. We can't see every problem, like under the floor, in the walls, in the engine, whatever the case might be. But, you know, we assess the evidence that we do have, and then we make a decision. And so faith accepts God's word by anticipating the future and by evaluating the present. We do both of those things by God's word. How do we do this? Well, we can read much of the Bible and see that the things God promised centuries ago came to pass. Faith invites us to read the promises that are not yet fulfilled in the same way. Things like we can be saved by grace, through faith, by the free gift of grace. That we are likely to endure to some degree of persecution, hardship and suffering until the end because God will be vindicated. That there will be a resurrection of the dead and a final judgment. That there will be an end to death and violence and destruction at the end. That we will live in a new creation in perfect harmony with God. That God will bring about true and lasting reconciliation. That Jesus is already victorious and will return to claim his victory, even though there are days where it might not feel like it. And so that list goes on. And so as we think of that through the lens of being people of faith, how often do we go about our day-to-day life maybe not looking that different to our non-believing friends? Our faith should make our lives look radically different. And we do that by anticipating the future, but also by evaluating the present. And I think it's really important for us, isn't it? Because we live in a world that's complex. We live in a world where we're seeing things happen across the world, but also in our own nation that sometimes trouble us. And it can be a temptation to be very tribal about these things. You know, I'm this kind of person, I'm that kind of person, I'm left-leaning, I'm right-leaning, I'm whatever the case might be. And one of the things that faith invites us to do is to measure everything against God's word and to go, you know, where is Jesus in this? What's consistent with his character? What's consistent with the character of God's word, God's Holy Spirit? And so, you know, sometimes we talk about taking the Lord's name in vain. That's not simply attaching a curse word to it. The more dangerous and insidious way of taking the Lord's name in vain is to use it to manipulate others for the sake of power and gain. I'm not suggesting that we do that, but, you know, when we see that happening in politics or in media or in other cases, let's not be, you know, seduced by that. Let's see it for what it is and say, actually, I stand with Jesus. So faith accepts God's word by anticipating the future, but it also accepts God's word by evaluating the past. That's the first thing. The second thing is faith wins approval. And this is a point that we'll look into more detail in next week, but this is the claim of verse 2, and it links to the characters and the accounts that follows. For a Christian, pleasing God is the most important thing that we do. We are most concerned about the audience of one, even if that means that at times we lose favour among those around us. We don't set our hearts on human approval. What we see as we explore the characters in the coming weeks is that they sought to please God. God was pleased with us and approves of them. That's why their stories are included here. And you might, sometimes we talk about them as heroes of the faith, but if you read their stories, particular parts of their stories in isolation, they might be considered more of a rogues gallery. They were all human. They were all flawed. They all made mistakes. Some of them you think, why are they even here? But they're here because they sought to please God. And he approved of them. And some didn't even do anything seemingly amazing from an objective human perspective. And yet, the attitude of their hearts and the living out of their faith won them God's approval. And that should be our life's ambition too. So faith accepts God's word, and faith wins approval. And finally, faith recognizes God's power. And recognizing God's power by faith is one of the reasons why we like to have a Thanksgiving moment, a testimony in church. Because when we share a story, you know, like we see God at work all the time, don't we? But when we share a story, we take a moment to say, we're thankful to God that this happened. We've seen God at work. We testify to others, and that helps our faith too. Verse 3 speaks specifically of this in relation to creation. Now, none of us were there, including all those heroes of the faith that are going to be mentioned in a moment. But again, because we can see the fulfillment of so many of God's promises, and we know the character of God, that he is a good, loving, reliable Father whose promises never fail, we can recognize God's power through history and every day around us. And the response of this, of course, is a disposition to praying in power, to expect, to being expectant that as we pray, God will respond. If we recognize that God moves in power even today, then we pray into it. We know that this is our primary defense against the enemy and our best offense as we step out boldly in faith to do the things God is calling us to do. And so faith accepts God's word, faith wins approval, and faith recognizes God's power. So let's put it all together for a working definition of faith. Christian faith is the firm, solid confidence of things hoped for and the certainty with which a believer directs their whole life. It is a response to all God has done and said. Faith pursues God's approval above all else, is accessed by praying in power, and results in transformation in oneself and others through the completed work of Jesus Christ. Why don't you take a moment to chat again to the people around you? See maybe one thing you've learned or one thing that's kind of stood out to you in that today, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer.